In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, good morning. It's good to be with each and every one of you in this middle day of November as we gather together to worship God and to welcome yet another beloved child of God into the waters of baptism. And as we gather this morning, we hear this reading from the Gospel of Mark, which is not exactly perfect for a baptism. It's about the end of the world, right? It's Jesus looking at the temple and talking about not one stone being left on another, everything being torn down, torn apart, about war and rumor of war, famine and disease and fear. Kristen, is that what you were hoping for baptism readings? We often call this portion of Mark the little apocalypse. Jesus looking to the future, talking about the future. And often as we hear his words, they are troubling. They're troubling because what he says, but I think also because there's something about them that seems a little close to home. Anybody here heard of rumors of war or war? Of famine and disease, of nation rising up against nation. These words of Jesus as he looks to the future are troubling for me because they hit close to home. They seem real. But before we delve into this reading from the Gospel of Mark, before we look far off into the future, I want you to do something with me. I want you to look into the past. I want you to look back to 3 p.m. yesterday. I'll turn this off for just a sec so you can see it. The lights. Where you all are sitting right now, that's what it looked like at 3:30 at St. Mark's yesterday. I think it's fair to say that not one stone was left on stone in this church yesterday for the art and craft fair. We tore this place apart. Every chair, every table, sacred objects which we polish and care for, no stone was left on stone as we intentionally tore this church apart. 63 of us took part in turning this place into something for the art and craft fair. Now why? Why would we tear this place apart, leaving no stone on stone? We did it for a number of reasons. So we could welcome hundreds, even thousands of people into this facility so that I could hand out close to 400 bags of popcorn. We did this so that conversation after conversation could be had between community member and member of this church. We did this so we could support local artisans and craftsmen. We did this so we could raise over $4,000 for the mission and ministry of St. Mark's Church. We did this for a bunch of reasons. The end came to this church so that something new could happen. So thinking about Jesus's saying, this little apocalypse, through this lens of the art and craft fair, I think it's actually helpful for us today. I think it's a reminder of what Jesus is getting at as he talks about things being torn apart. And it's a reminder of the very end of the gospel today. Those last few words that Jesus says that I think usually we skip right over because we're so busy thinking about famine and war and death and destruction. What does Jesus say right at the end? He says, "This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." Now, he could have said, "This is but the beginning of the destruction. This is but the beginning of everything being ruined." But those aren't the words that Jesus used. This is the beginning of the birth pangs. Of something new, of something hopeful, of something life-giving. And I think we should remember that when Jesus talks about the end, he's never really talking about the end. He's talking about a new beginning. He's talking about a new start. He's talking about this world filled with darkness and pain and fear and anger being changed from that kind of reality into the dream that God has for us. A world of welcome, of love, of hope, of healing, a world where humanity and God walk side by side. That's the kind of change and transformation Jesus sees. And friends, given the world we live in, that kind of change is in fact cataclysmic. It will shake us to our core. It will shake this world to its core. I'm convinced that hearing Jesus in this way helps us to understand his message better, and it helps us understand our scripture better today too. I don't know if you noticed it, but this morning you didn't say a psalm. Usually, we have a reading and then we say a psalm together. Jake decided to throw you a curveball this morning. You did. I know you did. I watched you do it. Jake had us say a canticle. It's a song of praise that comes from the book of 1 Samuel, one of those Hebrew scriptures books of the Bible, where a woman named Hannah is singing the praise of God. Hannah did not have a fun life. Hannah shared her husband with another woman. The other woman hated her, treated her terribly. She was barren. She was depressed, and nothing ever went her way. And so finally one day, she's at the end of her rope. She's miserable. She comes to the temple of God, and she's praying, pouring out her soul before God. And an idiot priest comes along, sees her praying, and says, "Why are you drunk? Get out of here." No, really, that's what happens in the reading. And she says, "I'm not drunk. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm begging God to hear me and to answer me and to give me hope." And the priest has a change of heart and remembers that pastoral care is usually not involving saying people are drunk. And he says, "May God hear your plea." And in the fullness of time, she gives birth to a child who we know as Samuel. And that song that we said today that Jake got you to say, it is her song of praise to God. Because the old world of hopelessness, of darkness, of despair, it has been torn apart by God. And light has come to her life. You see, that's how God works. Tearing apart places of darkness, tearing apart injustice and fear, and bringing hope. That's what we hear in the reading from Hebrews this morning, too. It's easy not to notice it, but right there in the middle of that little reading, the author tells us that the end is fast approaching. And of course, just like today, we get afraid of that. You know what? Early Christians were afraid of that, too. And so the author is saying, but you don't need to be afraid. Why not? Because Jesus, the perfect priest, he is with you. He's not going to leave your side. He will walk with you through this time and bring you to a new place of hope, of light, and love. Now, Kristen and Brian, by now, I hope I've set up something that's a little better for baptism at this point, right? We're talking about new life and new hope. And if you think about baptism, that is exactly what we say happens in the waters of baptism. We enter into those waters and God meets us there and blesses us and claims us and fills us with God's presence, the Holy Spirit. And then Cecilia, with that presence and that power, is going to be sent by this congregation. Granted, she'll need her parents to carry her, but sent by this congregation to go into the world to bear witness to hope, to light, to goodness, to forgiveness, and to grace. She will be a witness to us that God will tear down that which breaks humanity, and God will build up light and hope. And her baptism will remind us that that is our job as well. Our job is to remember God is with us. And in the midst of the darkness of our lives, God is calling for something new to burst forth. That's not always an easy thing, but it is a holy thing. So, sisters and brothers, be of good courage. You will hear of war and rumor of war. You will hear of famine and disaster. You will hear of division and evil and darkness. But Christ, the light of the world, is with you. Christ, the light of the world, will walk with you to rebuild this world, to rebuild your lives, and to bring hope and healing. Amen.